subject that I need. And let me ask you this. Anybody here need forgiveness? Anybody here need forgiveness? Do you need forgiveness for sin? Do you need forgiveness for your thoughts? For your actions? For your motives? For your feelings? Anybody here need forgiveness? There's a verse of Scripture over in Psalm 130 and verse 3 that says this, Lord, if Thou shouldest mark iniquities, if God went through our lives, through our hearts, through our thoughts, through everything about us, and began to make little check marks, for every time we committed a sin, every time we committed an iniquity, who would be able to stand? But you know what the next verse says? But there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. Bless God for that. Bless God for forgiveness. You know, forgiveness is an essential thing. Essential. We're going to have a clean conscience, a clear conscience before God, even with our fellow man. We not only need forgiveness from God, but we need to give forgiveness to others. We must be willing and ready to forgive as God forgive us. We need forgiveness. I need forgiveness. And hopefully, and I need it every day, and I hopefully, by God's grace, I will extend it to others whenever they wrong me. You see, forgiveness is required. It's not an optional thing. You keep Philemon's. Look with me in Mark just a moment. Over in Mark chapter 11. I'm going to bring a message here in a few weeks on no options. I thought late in bed last night and it come to me when I was thinking about this message. No options. I've got several things on my mind that there's just no options about. No options whatsoever. No way to get around it. You're going to have to do it or not, or else. But here in Mark 11:25, look what it says. Talking about forgiveness, it's required. It's not optional. And when you stand praying, forgive. If you have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. You know, Paul said it another way. He says, be ye kind, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath also forgiven you. But then he said here in verse 26, but if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive you your trespasses. If God doesn't forgive us and give us a forgiving heart, and I think this is one of the most telling things about us as believers, and I know that when God has forgiven a man for his sins, and God has forgiven him, and taken away sins, taken away that guilt, and cleansed his conscience, he doesn't find it hard to forgive others then at all. Just doesn't find it hard. And here in Philemon, this little book, these 25 verses, we have six things concerning forgiveness. Six things that's necessary. And I believe you, when I go through these six things, those of you who know what forgiveness is, and those of you who need forgiveness, and those of you who desire forgiveness, will agree with every one of these things. Father, forgive them. Our Lord cried on the cross, Father, forgive them. One of the last things He said, Father, forgive them. Forgive this man who took that spear and pierced my side. Forgive those men who nailed me to this cross. Forgive these people who stand here riding me, deriding me, and mocking me, and ridiculing me. For they don't know what they're doing. They do not understand what's being accomplished here and what they did. Just don't understand. But let me tell you the first thing that's essential in forgiveness. Now, Onesimus, let's back up a minute. Onesimus, it was a slave in Philemon's house. He was a servant. And he ran away. He went to Rome. And under Roman law, and under the law at that time, Philemon could have had him slain. But he ran away, and when he got to Rome, he knew Paul, and he sought out Paul. And Paul was in prison. He had his own hard house at that time, and he sat down under the apostles' ministry. And when he ran away, God crossed his path there and saved him by His grace. And after he was saved, Paul says, you've got to go home. You've got to go back. And that's what the purpose of this letter is. You've got to go back. And here's the first thing in verse 11 about forgiveness. Guilt. Guilt. Look what it says in verse 11. He says, and I beseech thee for my son Onesimus, who I have begotten in my bonds, which in time past was to thee unprofitable. That's the first thing that a man is. He has guilt, and he's unprofitable. He is absolutely unprofitable. As Onesimus was unprofitable to Philemon, as Onesimus wasn't faithful to his master, to his lord who owned him and made his living for him, he ran away, and he was a slave. And let me ask you this question. What profit is any man to God? What profit are you and I to God today? Do we add anything to His majesty, to His glory, to His power, to His might, to His omniscience? Do we make God better by even believing Him? Do we make God any different than what He is? What profit are we to God? What have we ever given to Him that would ever put Him in debt to us? We were unfaithful. We were unprofitable. In fact, He says, the Lord says, this unprofitable servant. When you've done everything you know to do, still say, I'm unprofitable. And where the Scripture says, we like sheep. What did we do? We went astray. We didn't stay in the fold. We didn't stay where the Master was. We didn't stay where the Lord was. We never even thought of our Master. And all beloved, look over here. You keep this and look in Job 22 with me just a moment. Job 22. And I tell you, this idea that preachers have given and this, the media has given to men and women, that God just stands with bated breath for them to trust Him and come to Him. And He's just standing there with such love in His heart that He'll take you on any terms you're willing to come. Because you're such good people, that you're such strong people, and that you've got so much to offer the Lord. That's a lie hatched in hell itself. No, it's just this man in his best state is altogether vanity. And you know what vanity is? Nothing. As Scott Richardson said, it's a donut hole. It's nothing. Men need to understand that they got nothing to offer God, as Onesimus had nothing. He was unprofitable to his master. We're unprofitable. And the only way in the world, we got faith, He gave it to us. We couldn't give it to Him, He had to give it to us. Give Him your heart. We can't give Him even our heart. He's got to give us a new heart. We got to repent. He's got to grant us repentance. You've got a mind that's against God. What does the Scripture say? He gives us a new mind, a new understanding.
He says, you're unwilling. He said, oh, listen, I'll make you willing in the day of my power. So everything we got, He gave to us. And look what it said here in Job 22, in verse 1. Talking about, oh, guilt, unprofitable. Then Eliphaz the Temanite answered and said, can a man be profitable unto God? As he that is wise may be profitable unto himself? Is it any pleasure to the Almighty that thou art righteous? Or is it gain to him that thou makest thy ways perfect? You're going to impress God? Impress God? Make God to look at you and say, boy, look what I've done. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, I thank thee, O Father, that I'm not as other men are. That I pay tithes of all that I possess. I fast twice in the week. I'm no adulterer, I'm not an extortioner, I'm not as other men are. I'm not like this publican over here. That publican, he stood on, he knew his guilt. He knew his sinfulness. He knew what a condition he was before God. He stayed way back in the temple. He didn't draw nigh. And he stood back there and he's beating on his breast like this. He said, this is my problem right in here. He wouldn't lift his hands up. And he said, oh God, be merciful. Be propitiated toward me, the sinner. And the scripture says that that man, that publican, that one who wouldn't even lift his eyes to heaven, smote his breath, he went down to his house justified. Why? Because he knew he was unprofitable. He knew that he was guilty. He knew that he couldn't even lift his hands up or hold his eyes up before God. There is none righteous, no, not one. There's none that doeth good, no, not one. Not one. And all beloved, you know what Onesimus means? His very name means profitable. But he became unprofitable. He became unprofitable. Guilt. If you have guilt, if you feel guilty, there's forgiveness for men that are guilty. And then look at the second. Now, oh, I love this one. Back over in Philemon. The second thing necessary, the second thing involved in forgiveness is love. Look down in verse 9. Yet for love's sake, I rather beseech thee, being such a one as Paul the aged and now also a prisoner for Jesus Christ. Love. You guilty? Well, for love's sake. For love's sake. God is love. And there is no forgiveness without God being love. Just none. Now you keep Philemon and just turn over to your right till you come to 1 John. And look at 1 John chapter 1 with me. And verse 5. You see, God is love. No forgiveness without love. And Paul says, for love's sake. For love's sake. I know he's unprofitable to you. I know he's guilty. He's unfaithful. He ran away. He has nothing to you. But listen, for love's sake. For love's sake. And there's no forgiveness without there being love. I can't forgive anybody unless I got love in my own heart. And it has to be first and foremost to love for Christ, to honor Him. But look what he said here in 1 John 1:5. This then is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. God is light. God is holy. God is righteous. There's no darkness in Him at all. So when we talk about being unprofitable, when you face God, He's holy. He's righteous. There's no darkness in Him. So here we are in our guilt, but yet, He looks at us, and I tell you, beloved, no darkness, no, just perfect light. And He's holy and He's righteous. Well, what are we going to do? Well, look over in 1 John, look over in chapter 4 and verse 16. Oh, my, not only is God light, But look what he says here in verse 16 of 1 John chapter 4. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love. God is love. And he that dwelleth in God dwelleth, he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Look down in verse 19. We love him because he first loved us. Now let me tell you something. If you have love, love must be expressed. You can't help but express it. When you have a child born, that love expresses itself. When you want to marry somebody, that love expresses itself. When you have a mother or father or somebody that you know that's sick and in need, that love must express itself. It expresses itself in lots and lots of ways. And God expressed his love. How did he express his love? He sent his only blessed Son, the Son of his love. He unbosomed him. And he sent it into this world. And he came into this world. And as a man, he lived in this world, walked in this world, and was a man in this world. And oh, beloved, a perfect man without sin, but he was a man. And God loved. God loved so much that he gave willingly, voluntarily, joyfully, his only begotten beloved Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And that's what I'm telling you. God expressed his love. He communicated his love. He communicated the love that he had towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And when he's talking about the world, he's talking about you. You're in the world, ain't you? He's not talking about everybody. He's talking about every class and tribe and kindred and tongue. You're in this world, ain't you? Are you one of those that God gave his Son for? The only way in the world you'll ever know is that I believe on him. I believe him. I believe him right now. I'm coming to him right now. It's in my heart, in my soul, to look to him right this moment. I'm going to. Oh, he's light. That's why we're guilty. But he's also love. That's why we're forgiveness. That's for, ain't going to be no forgiveness without love. There ain't going to be no forgiveness without guilt. And the aged apostle, he's an old man now. And going back over to our text, he's an old man now. Paul's an old man now. And you know what he calls on the motive to get Philemon to forgive Onesimus? Love. I beseech you, receive Onesimus, who's so unprofitable, so unfaithful. I know that you've got the right to do what you want to, but all for love's sake. And as the cause of receiving this runaway slave back, and to receive him with complete forgiveness, do it with love as your motive. Love as your motive. And oh, let me tell you another thing about forgiveness. Guilt. You ain't going to be forgiven if you ain't guilty. I've told you this, and you all know it well as I do. There, I don't know how many people you talk to, and you talk to them about the gospel. You talk to them about how they need Christ, and they say, "No, I don't feel like I'm so bad. I don't feel like I've done anything." And none of us would feel that way had not God done something for us. But oh, without guilt, no forgiveness. And without love, love being the motivating cause, be no forgiveness. And I'll tell you another thing. Look back over here in our text. Without substitution, there be no forgiveness. Look what he says here in verse 18. Talking about Onesimus now. And he's writing to Philemon. If he hath wronged thee, verse 18. If Onesimus hath wronged you,
and he owes you anything. He must have took something with him when he left. Must have not only run away, but also must have stole something. If he hath wronged thee or owed thee aught, watch what he says now. Put that on mine account. Charge it to me. And I, Paul, have written this with my own hand. Now watch this. I will repay it. Put it on my account. Put it on my account. Someone's going to have to pay the debt that this runaway slave ran off. Somebody's going to have to pay for whatever he took when he left. Whatever he stole when he left. You see, when God is wronged and you sin against him, who's going to pay the debt? Who's going to pay the debt? Who's going to pay the debt of what you've done this morning? Who's going to pay the debt of what you did yesterday? Who's going to pay the debt of the sin that you inherited from Adam? Who's going to pay that debt? Huh? I'm going to read something to you. You don't have to look at it. I'll find it and read it to you. But it's and I'll read this to you right quick. But it says this. And if one man sin against another, the judge shall judge him. You can go to court if one man wrongs another man in this world, the way things go. But if a man sin against the Lord, who shall entreat for him? Who's going to go to God for him? Who's going to pay his debt there? Who's going to judge him there? Huh? Who shall entreat for him? Who's going to come up for him? Well, Paul said, Philemon, you take Onesimus back. He's guilty. Forgive him. For love's sake, forgive him and receive him. And whatever he's done against you, whatever he took that wasn't his, whatever debt he owes, you put that on my account. Put that on my account. Now I want you, everyone, to turn with me to our creed, Isaiah 53. This is our creed right here. We don't have nothing wrote down on paper. All we got is a blessed Bible, the Word of God, and this is our creed. This is our blessed truth. This is what we believe from the depth of our soul to the top of our head. Substitution. Put it on my account. And you know what substitution means? Everybody knows. As somebody else stands in another person's place. And on God took His Son and put Him in our place. Look what he said here in Isaiah 53. He said, who hath believed our report? Who hath believed our preaching? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he, Christ, shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of dry ground. Christ hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there's no beauty that we should desire him. There's no halos around his head. There's no big red heart coming out of him. There's no light shining down from heaven around him. When you looked at him, I mean, when they was in his in the garden, Judas had to go to identify him by reaching and getting him and kissing him. Said, the one that I kiss, the one that I point out to you, that's the one you to take. Because he was so ordinary looking. And that's why I said, there was no beauty about him. He wasn't no beauty about him. Now watch this. He is despised and rejected of men. A man of sorrows and also acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. Oh my. You see folks you know you don't want to have to deal with. You don't want to have to talk to them or something. And you see them, you just, you know, turn and walk away. That's what we've done with Christ. Didn't want to deal with him. Didn't want to deal with what he did. Didn't want to deal with our sin. Didn't want to deal with our rebellion. And what did we do? We turned away to religion. We turned away to our self-righteousness. We turned away to our self-confidence. We turned away to our morality. We turned away to our free will is. And we turned away to how good we are. And we hid as that were our faces from him. We don't need him. But oh, watch. But now watch what he says down in verse 4. Surely, the griefs that he had, he bore ours. Carried our sorrows. And yet we said God struck him. God smote him. God afflicted him. But you know why God smote him? Why God struck him? Why God smit him? He was wounded for our transgression. Put it on my account. Father, these people sinned against you. Son, these folks have sinned against me. They owe a debt they can't possibly pay. I'll go pay it for them, Father. You give them to me, and I'll tell you what I'll do. You give them to me as your sheep, and I'll go lay my life down for them. You give them to me as your elect in the covenant of grace, and I'll go give myself for them. I'll go into this world and I'll pray for them. I won't pray for nobody else. And I'll go into this world and I'll love them. And I'll do for them what they can't do for themselves. And look what he says. But he wounded for our transgressions. All our transgressions. How many are they, you reckon? How many times have you all went hunting or went fishing or somewhere and you seen a no trespassing sign? And you went ahead and crossed the fence? How many times have you seen a no trespassing sign? And you went ahead and crossed the fence and went ahead and went fishing, went hunting? We've crossed the fence against God from the day we was born. No trespassing. Just keep on trespassing. Just keep on trespassing. And he was wounded for our transgressions and all bruised. Beaten. Bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And bless his holy name. With all the stripes they put upon him and the blood that came from him healed our souls from our sins. And all we like sheep have gone astray. We have everyone turned to his own way. And what did the Lord do for us when we was doing that? And the Lord picked up all of our iniquity, all of our sin, of all of his people for all ages, and laid them, and the weight of them, and the guilt of them, and the shame of them, on his blessed Son. And look what it says down in verse 10. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin. If he oweth you, put it on my account. Christ said, put it on my account. And then look what it says. He, Christ, shall see his seed. And God's pleasure, God's satisfaction, and the will of God will prosper in his hand. And he, Christ, shall see of the travail, the pain, the agony of his soul. And shall be satisfied. God shall see of the travail and pain and agony of his soul. And he shall be satisfied. And by his knowledge, by him making us know himself, shall my righteous servant justify many. For he shall bear their iniquities. Oh. You owe anything? I'll never forget as long as I live. When I seen Christ and the cross in my place. Early, early, early one morning. My sins was before me. Weighed heavy on me. My self-righteousness, my legalism. Weighed heavy on me. And I seen the Lord Jesus bearing my sins in his own body there on that tree, and my heart broke. Oh, it broke. It broke. It just melted. It just crushed. And the fountain of the deep broke up in my soul, and I said, oh, Lord. Oh, God, forgive me. Have mercy on me. I'm so sorry, Lord Jesus, that my sin is so grievous that it took you to bear them away. And all, beloved, our Lord Jesus had our sin put on his account. And by his blood through death, he removed our sin, as he sang in the song this morning, as far as the east is from the west. He blotted them out as a thick cloud. And oh, beloved, no wonder David said, blessed is the man to whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity. Blessed is the man who is forgiven. And oh, beloved, not only is he forgiven, but all of his sins are also forgotten. Hebrews 10 says, not only are they forgiven, but God said, their sins and iniquities I will remember no more. I can't forget them, but God has. Alright, let me move on here. Look again, not only is there guilt involved in forgiveness, love involved in forgiveness, substitution. Put it on my account if he owes you all. But there's intercession. Intercession, number four. Look down there in verse 10. He said, I beseech thee for my son, Onesimus, who I have begotten in my bonds. And that beseech thee is I beg you, I plead with you. I plead that you, for my son, Onesimus. And I tell you something, beloved, all of John 17, the whole chapter, is devoted to Christ interceding for his people. When you get home this afternoon or sometime this week, you read John 17, and you read there how the Lord Jesus Christ prayed for all of his people. Prayed, he said he even prayed for those who would believe. He said, who would believe? And that was praying for me. Who would believe? And that's why Paul is praying for Onesimus. He said, I beseech thee. I'm interceding for him. I'm interceding for him. And oh, beloved, look over here in Hebrews. You know, you got Hebrews there. Look at Hebrews 7:23. Talking about intercession. He says here, Hebrews 7:23, and there were truly many priests, many of them, but they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. They died. They couldn't keep on in the priesthood because they died. But now talking about Christ being our priest, the only priest that God recognizes. But this man, the Lord Jesus Christ, because he continues ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. It ain't going to never change. He's got it. Wherefore he is also able to save to them to the uttermost that come unto God by him. Now listen to this. Seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. For such an high priest became us, necessary for us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, made higher than the heavens. That's who's interceding for us. Higher than the heavens, holy and harmless, interceding for us. Now look again back over here in Philemon. Look what else Paul says about this intercession. Look what he says in verse 17. He said, if thou count me therefore a partner, receive him just like you receive me. You know, you receive Onesimus for my sake. I begot him in my bonds. And you know, he said, if you count me therefore a partner, receive him as myself. And let me tell you something. God receives us just like he receives his own son. God said himself, and our Lord, when he prayed, he says, Father, thou hast loved them even as thou hast loved me. And I pray for them that they will be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory. And I tell you, our Lord God himself, right this moment, and this is one of the most astounding things that the human mind's ever conceived of and that God has ever blessed him to understand, is that right this moment in the sight of God, God receives me just like he receives his own son. Christ is righteous, so am I. Christ is seen at God's right hand, I'm seen in him. Christ is without sin, so am I. That's it. Now that's good news. That is good news. And that's why our Lord says, Father, forgive them, receive them, keep them. You know what he prayed? When poor Peter ever denied him three times, he says, Peter, I prayed for you. That's what he does. He prays for us. I prayed for thee that your faith not fail. And every moment of every day, our Lord Jesus has got our names and our heart on his heart and on his lips. When we're in, every day, when you go to him, he takes your cares and concerns to heart. Huh? And then let me hurry on here. It's early yet. I'm not going too fast. Not only you got guilt for forgiveness, love for forgiveness, substitution for forgiveness, intercession for forgiveness. Somebody else got to take up your call. Somebody else got to take up your name. Somebody else got to bring you. And then secondly, restoration. Be restored. The fifth one is this. Look in verse 15. Here at Philemon, verse 15. For perhaps he therefore departed for a season that thou shouldest receive him forever. You know, God in his providence is mysterious. You know, here this fellow run away, and he had no intentions of ever going back. And if he had got caught, if he hadn't crossed Paul's path, if he had got caught, they'd have put him in jail and they would have executed him. But he said he departed for a season, just for a certain amount of time, that you might receive him forever. He said, receive him. And how long are you going to receive him? For just a day or two until he messes up again? Receive him forever. Our Lord Jesus Christ says, he that believeth on the Son hath eternal life. And you know what hath means? You got it. You're not going to get it. You got it. I'm not going to give it to you. You got it now. Do you believe on Christ? You have eternal life then. And Paul's sitting back. And let me tell you something. The Holy Spirit brings everyone that has departed from God and my sheep that went astray. God, Holy Spirit brought every single one of them to the place where they heard the gospel, like Onesimus run away, and he crossed the preacher's path, and when he was down there, that preacher began to preach to him, and he sat there and he listened, and after a while he believed that, and Paul says, now you got to go home. You've got to go back to your master. You need to go back. And he'll love you. He'll receive you for love's sake. And everything that's owed, he said, I'll take care of it. I'll take care of it. And I tell you what, I'm going to take your cause up. I'm going to speak for you to Philemon. I'm going to do it. And then when you get there, he's going to receive you forever. Paul says, you know, I before was a blasphemer, I was a persecutor, and I was injurious. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb, called me by his grace. When did he call him by his grace? On the Damascus Road. On his way to persecute and kill Christians. He departed for a season, but he's coming back. In the day of his power, his people are made willing. Blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thee. Oh my, do you want to listen? When he got there, you want to run away back to Rome again? Oh no, I ain't leaving no more. I ain't going nowhere. No. You want to be a fugitive? No, I ain't going to be a fugitive. I'm staying right here where there's forgiveness, where there's love, where there's intercession, where somebody took care of my debts. This is where I'm staying. Somebody loves me. Somebody loves me. And I tell you, beloved, there's enough sin and heartache and grief in this world. There's enough heartache and grief in this world. Let us, me and you, never be the cause of any of it to anybody. Let us as believers never be the cause of any heartache or grief to anybody. Let us be willing to love, to forgive, to restore, to be willing to take any wrong done to us. Let us never, by God's grace, cause any grief or heartache or sorrow. Because we don't have enough of it coming our way without us being responsible to make anybody. Would you all agree with that? Huh? And I tell you, a lot of bad things, a lot of things happen. A lot of sins committed. But there's a time when God crosses their path. And they're restored. You know why? Because God loved them with an everlasting love and in cords of loving kindness, truth. And restored them and received them. And then look what else it said here in verse 8. Let me move on. He said, I'm talking about free. You're restored and then there's freeness. You've got to be free. He gets set free. Paul said, wherefore, though I might be much bold in Christ to enjoin thee, and that word enjoins thee means to command you to that which is convenient. You know, so he says Philemon, according to law, could have been executed. Nothing about Onesimus was right. He ran away from his master. But I might be bold. I might be bold to command you to do that which is not convenient, which is even against the laws of the land, yet for love's sake. You freely, freely take him back. Don't let no law be involved. It's, you know, the law I know is broken. You've got the right to do what you want to with it. But don't do that which is convenient. Don't do it just because you can. For love's sake. And oh, take him back freely. He was freely forgiven. And not only was he freely forgiven, but he was fully forgiven. And then not only was he fully forgiven, but he was forgiven forever. As long as he was in Philemon's house from that day, I don't believe Philemon ever mentioned anything that Onesimus ever did. There's my brother Onesimus. Oh, I love Onesimus. And Onesimus says, I love my master Philemon. Oh, he took me back. He loved me. He forgave me. He received me. And I done him so wrong. I sinned against him so greatly. He could have killed me. He could have executed me. Oh, I love Philemon. Oh, I love Philemon. And then look at the last one here. Forgiveness. Oh, guilt. Love. Substitution, intercession, restoration, receiving forever, taking back freely. And then look at the relationship changes when there's forgiveness. Look what he says in verse 16. He departed for a season that thou shouldst receive him forever, not now as a servant, but above a servant, a brother, beloved. He's especially beloved to me. But how much more unto thee, both in the flesh as still your servant and in the Lord. Don't take him back just as a servant. He's your brother now. He's your brother in Christ now. He's not a slave anymore. He's going to come back and he's going to serve you. He's going to love you. He's going to honor you. He's going to do everything just right. Oh, but you take him back as a brother now. He's taking and receiving as somebody in your family. You love your brother, what do you do? Oh, listen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, he's the firstborn among many brethren. He's not ashamed to call us brother. And here this man left a slave. Left a fugitive, left stealing something, and God in His sovereign mercy, He crossed a preacher's path, And he heard Christ preached. And that 11 times in these 25 verses, Paul mentions Christ's name, the Lord Jesus, 11 times. And he left a fugitive, he left a slave, and he crossed that preacher's path. He heard and believed the gospel, and he came back a member of the family. I'm a member of God. Oh, receive him as a son. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called what? The sons of God. Brethren, beloved of the Lord. Oh, you need forgiveness? You need forgiveness. I just told you where it's at, how it's given, and who it's given to. And the results of it when you get it. When you get it. Our Father, in the blessed, holy, glorious name of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, how we bless you for your mercy, for your grace given us in Christ Jesus. How we desperately need you. Thank you for your mercies today. And Father, if you've created in a heart that life that says you've got it, I pray that that fruit would come forth to your glory. I pray that you would honor yourself in the salvation of sinners in this place. And I ask, Lord, that you meet with us this afternoon. Bless the food to our body and our enjoyment of one another and our fellowship with one another. May you be honored among us. And Father, that sinner that I even conscious of being a sinner, I pray that you make them conscious of their great need. And we ask you in Christ's name. Amen. Amen.